Okay.
So today we are going to observe
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All praise to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So today we have His Grace Ram Gadadi Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much Prabhuji for giving a valuable association. So now I would like to hand over the call to you Prabhuji. You can continue the class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 19, text number 170 onwards. So I'll read text number 170. We will read 3-4 verses today and then discuss on them. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesa sevanam bhakti ruchyate. Translation: Bhakti or devotional service means engaging all of our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and one's senses are purified simply by being employed in the service of the Lord. Purport: This verse, quoted from the Narada Pancharatra, is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.12. Text number 171. Madguna Shruti Matrena Mai Sarva Guhasaye Manogati Ravi Chinna Yata Gangambashom Budhau. Just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed into the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me. I reside in the hearts of all. Purport: This verse and the following three verses are quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.29.11 through 14. They were spoken by Lord Krishna in the form of Kapila Dev. Text number 172. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hi udhahritam ahitu hi avyavahita ya bhakti purushottame. These are the characteristics of transcendental loving service to Purushottama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is costless and it cannot be obstructed in any way. Text number 173. Salokya Sarshti Samipya Sarupyai Katam Apyata Divyamanam Nagrihananti Veena Matsevanam Jana. My devotees do not accept Salokya Sarshti Sarupya Samipya or oneness with me, even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me. Text number 174. Saeva bhakti yogakhya atyantika udhahuta yenati vrajyatrigunam madbhavayopadhyate. Translation: Bhakti yoga, as described above, is the ultimate goal of life. By rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one transcends the modes of material nature and attains the spiritual position on the platform of direct devotional service. We will discuss till verse number 174 from 170 onwards. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So today we are going to discuss from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 19, text number 170, all the way till 174. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction to Rupa Goswami. Very, very important portion in Chaitanya Charitamrita is this chapter. Sri Rupa Siksha is meant for defining, clarifying, and establishing the core aspect of our devotional life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is choosing to share this transcendental wisdom to Sri Padrupa Goswami and his brother. So this knowledge, Sri Padrupa Goswami and all the other Goswamis in turn are passing on to the entire parampara down, and by the mercy of these six Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, we have some opportunity to get access to this knowledge. So, in your last set of few verses, you must have heard how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defined pure devotional service. He has been describing about this Bhakti Lata Bhij, the creeper, the potency of the creeper, how the creeper is very, very unique and special, and it can penetrate through the layer of material existence and can reach the Lord's lotus feet. And few verses before 170, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to explain about pure devotional service and the characteristics of pure devotional service. And after explaining the characteristics of pure devotional service, in the last few verses, from the verse from 170 onwards today, we are going to discuss on some aspects of devotional service and how they are going to help us fight against the evil effects of Kali Yuga. So last week we discussed about the six different stages of unsteady bhajana kriya. Last week we discussed how from shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and we defined two categories in shraddha, in which one is something which is swabhaviki shraddha, in which a person is naturally inclined in this process of Krishna consciousness. And another one we discussed is about somebody takes up devotional service because of a push from another devotee. And then we discussed, eventually when we come to bhajana kriya, we have two categories. One is anishtita bhajana kriya, second is nishtita bhajana kriya. And in anishtita bhajana kriya, we saw how there are six different stages, or how six different natural progression of consciousness during our unsteady devotional service. We defined them from Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and we said that as a part of our discussion, we will define the root cause of our unsteadiness in our bhajana kriya, and what is the solution. So incidentally, the set of verses that we are discussing today is helping us to reflect on those points, which in turn define and explain the slokas that we read today. So we are going to discuss four set of reflections, and as a part of those four set of reflections, we will define the root cause of why our bhajana is unsteady. This is again from Madhurya Kadambini, in which Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur defines five primary and most important reasons why our bhajana is unsteady. Number two, we will define about, so that's the first set of reflection. The second set of reflection is something about how, when somebody is developing devotional life, what are the three characteristics that manifest when we get rid of those five vices that we'll be discussing. And those are from Srimad Bhagavatam. And third, when we do such a devotion, what sorts of qualities that will manifest upon us, or what sorts of qualities to nurture and look forward. And fourth, it's a practical application that we can inculcate every day. And as a part of that, we will suggest an application to help us sail through this journey. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur very nicely explained that bhajana kriya, if somebody comes to the stage of bhajana kriya, is in itself a great achievement. Whilst we can definitely be happy that we got into this process of Krishna consciousness, we got into this process of devotional life, we also need to be little prudent enough in taking advantage of this process and not just be complacent to what we received. Rather, we should be sincere to remove the unwanted vices which causes an obstacle in moving further in our devotional life. So, in our journey of Krishna consciousness to reach the bhajana kriya, what we did was actually nothing. What happened was, there was a causeless mercy. Causeless as well as mercy. Why this was bestowed upon us, we don't know. Well, we know because of the kindness of devotees. But why we don't know. Maybe we had done some, ajnana vikruti or whatever. So by a causeless mercy, we have received this pure devotional seed. And this pure devotional seed is already being sown in our heart. And by our chanting and hearing and our sadhana, we are watering this seed. We discussed about all those stages, six different stages of faith as well as six different stages of actions in our discussion a couple of weeks before. So that Bhakti Lata Bij, whilst we have received them, the Shastra describes that so many transformations that are supposed to have happened if somebody is doing devotional life, why are they not happening? Why still our devotional creeper is still unsteady? Why our devotional life is still unsteady? So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is analyzing them. As we discussed last week, six different categories of unsteady bhajana kriya. When we heard them, it sounded obvious. When we are going to hear these five points, it will be all the more obvious. But when we hear from the perspective of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, it helps us in definitely reinstating to ourselves that we need to get rid of these obstacles. So as the first set of reflection today, the five obstacles listed by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which are against or which acts as a big obstacle for our progress in Krishna consciousness, to develop the devotion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining in these four verses. Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So when we come to devotion, this devotion can give access to the Supreme Lord Narayana, but we are still struggling to this. And the first reason that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains is laya. Laya, he refers it as tendency to sleep. And an explanation that he is giving is, if somebody has a tendency to sleep during japa, kirtana, smarana, then this inattentiveness or this kind of laziness or this slumber is one of the biggest obstacles for our progress in Krishna consciousness. So this sleep is about oversleeping, not a mandatory rest required for the maintenance of the body. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur very clearly clarifies that especially those who are not attentive in their chanting or sleeping during chanting, sleeping during kirtana, which means Bhagavatam class or any other discussion, and sleeping during Vishnu Smarana in terms of when you are in meditative. Sleep here refers to actual sleeping, as well as it also refers to being inattentive or very subconsciously thinking and concerned about other things. The second reason or second obstacle that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains is called vikshepa. Vikshepa means distraction toward mundane topics while performing service. And he says that gossiping while japa, gossiping while executing devotional service, talking about worldly matters, prajalpa, whilst you are cooking for Sunday love feast, whilst you are doing garland service, whilst you are doing some book distribution, whilst you are focusing on some service for the Lord, if somebody is distracted towards talking mundane topics, you may pat on your back that saying that I am doing wonderful flower service, cooking service, mopping service, but our consciousness and our tongue is engaged in prajalpa, grahamya kata. Sometimes we go to an extent of criticizing devotees, which is very much against in our devotional life. So it is very, very, very nicely explained that if somebody is doing this, which we can also identify to ourselves if we are having this difficulty, then is one of the obstacles that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains. And the third obstacle that he explains is called apratipati, which means inability to perform kirtana in spite of absence of laya or vikshepa. He's nicely explaining, sometimes we might not be feeling sleepy, sometimes we might not be feeling, we are not distracted, but still we will have some inability to perform our bhajana, and he attributes that to our general absent-mindedness or getting lost or daydreaming or, you know, somewhere we are in a shell of hollowness where we are not conscious that we are supposed to be doing devotional life. So we all go to such zones at times because of various conditioning, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this is also another obstacle in our journey of Krishna consciousness. The fourth obstacle that has been identified is called kashaya, which is again very prominent, we can identify. He says, the tendency to indulge in anger, greed, pride, etc. due to our past bad habits whilst executing devotional life. He says that we will be doing service, we will be engaged in the service, but while doing service, instead of keeping our frame of mind into a very humble and simple and tolerant frame of mind, we will be angry, we will be proud, we will be greedy, and this propensity, instead of watering the seed, it is actually going to water the weed. So he says that if somebody has got the tendency to be always angry, and if we rationalize our anger, our pride, and our greed to need of the service, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, this is not very, very favorable. Maybe 10, 12, 15 years before, I had an opportunity to discuss with His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj on this particular topic, where Maharaj was explaining about Ambarish Maharaj's pastime. And in one of the purports, Prabhupada explains that in our execution of devotional service, how we need to be careful not to mix it with our amateurish emotion such as anger, pride, ego, envy, greed. So I was asking with Maharaj that what is wrong in utilizing our anger in Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj was very nicely explaining that when we talk about all these vices to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, this is not from the platform of conditioned platform. When Hanuman engaged his anger, when various other personalities engage their different qualities in devotional service, that is purely from the perspective of pleasing the Supreme Lord and doesn't have anything to do with them. But what is being spoken about in this context is, we cannot substantiate our sensory anger, our sensual behavior to our devotional needs. He says that we need to learn to execute our devotional service devoid of our vices. Otherwise, rationalizing them as a need for devotional service is something called absurd. When we perform devotional life and we get rid of our anartha nivritti state, after that point in time, as a part of executing devotional service only for the pleasure of the Lord and His dear devotees, if we try to utilize some of these qualities, they are done in a very matured manner. This is not only refers to anger, greed and pride, it is also refers to diplomacy. Half of the time in our devotee circle, we get to hear that we have to be diplomatic, Prabhu. If you had been very focused on the few purports, Prabhupada would have mentioned about this particular point of diplomacy multiple times, in multiple places in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, how this is a very gravest or one of the dangerous quality to be wary of. Because diplomacy is such a quality that we will try to rationalize it is needed to be there in each and every one of us for our dealings, but it is against our devotional progress. So all these qualities, diplomacy, anger, all these qualities are utilized by devotees in a pure devotional state. But if you see there, the focus is only the Lord and purifying and pleasing the Lord, and Lord is dear devotees and no, that doesn't have any personal agenda. So the fourth obstacle is being spoken about is called Kashaya. And the fifth obstacle that is referred over is called Rasasvada. Rasasvada means inability to absorb the mind in Kirtana, because one gets an opportunity for material sense pleasure. This is also quite natural that we see in our regular life. We will be, there will be a rugby match or a soccer match or a cricket match or a fashion show or some interesting TV episode. And at the same time, when there is a, mid-morning Bhagavatam class or we have different other services, because we have our inclination or attachment because of our previous conditioning, our mind is constantly tussling between, this will be going on. Oh, I'm missing that show. I'm missing that day, missing that episode. Our mind will be half here and half over there. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes that because of our conditioning towards material entertainment and engagement. Those engagement will overpower our thought to an extent that we will not be able to focusly perform our devotional life. So these five obstacles that are listed, sleep, laya, vikshepa, sleep as laya, vikshepa as distraction towards mundane topics, apratipati is inability to perform kirtana, kashaya means tendency to get angry, greedy and proud, and prasasvada means inability to absorb the mind in kirtana if one gets the opportunity for material sense pleasure. So our first set of reflection is to say that our unstable bhajana kriya or our bhajana is not very stable. After mentioning these 5 points, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Bhagavan writes just 2 lines. He says, if somebody is careful about these 5 things and very nicely chant and associate with a devotee and read Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm just paraphrasing it, then all the previously listed obstacles will be immediately washed away. So our first set of reflection is to get the taste of bhakti, to enjoy the flavor of devotion, to really get the power of what we are exposed to, which can actually take us to Goloka Vrindavan Dham. We need to be carefully recognizing these vices, carefully recognizing such qualities, carefully recognizing these symptoms, and try to be wary about it, try to be removing them, or you know, try to be uprooting them slowly. So this is our first set of reflection. The second set of reflection is that when we perform devotional life, being careful of these 5 obstacles, then we should also be inculcating 3 important qualities or focusing on 3 important characteristics which either get manifested or we try to work on them, which Srila Prabhupada is talking about in these 4 verses. From 3rd canto, 29th chapter, text number 11 through 14, Srila Prabhupada explains 3 major characteristics. Number 1 is called avichinna. He refers to them as without interruptions. And number 2 is ahaituki, which means without reason. And number 3 is called avyavahita, which means without cessation. So, Prabhupada explains that this devotional service should be executed like how Ganges water flows towards the ocean, how a devotee who is free from those obstacles, how a devotee who is careful about his devotional activities will naturally develop these characteristics, or should naturally work towards these characteristics, which are devotional activities to be done without any reason, which means it's causelessly performed, not expecting some, you know, returns. It is also done without any interruptions, and it is also done without any cessation. So the explanation is that savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti ratokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains yayatma suprasidati. Suprasidati means that person who does this devotional life very nicely, he is a very great person. This is and the occupation that he will be doing is very, very great. This is a supreme occupation. Dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the Transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains that this activity should be done in this way. So when we get rid of this obstacle and when we do our bhajana, naturally these 3 are the characteristics that we will be needing to focus on, or they will be manifesting upon us. This actually is an answer to the sages of Naimisharanya who are asking Suta Goswami. Sutta Goswami responding to their first question that what is the greatest welfare activity to be done? For that, Sutta Goswami is explaining that Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo. The highest occupation is to about teaching about devotional service. So what we are exposed to, this process of chanting and being associated with Vaishnavas and Srimad Bhagavatam is a very, very sublime activity, and it is a paro dharmo. So we have got a good opportunity to hold something which is very, very rare, and hence we need to capitalize on this opportunity for our welfare as well as all the humanity at large welfare. And for that, Prabhupada explains that pravritti marga and nivritti marga, one is called some process by which we will go towards the path of sense enjoyment called pravritti marga, and go towards the path of nivritti marga, which is called process for renunciation. He said, Prabhupada explains in that purport that the Vedas prescribed two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the pravritti marga, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the nivritti marga, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada explains that our endeavor should be such that we need to work towards getting rid of the unwanted vices, which is what we spoke about, and focus on inculcating Krishna consciousness, which is the second reflection, through uninterrupted, unmotivated, without any cessation, performing devotional life. So this is the second set of reflection. And the third reflection is that Srila Prabhupada explains that if somebody performs his devotional life like this, so if somebody is getting rid of the obstacle, if somebody is developing these characteristics of unmotivated, uninterrupted, unalloyed, without cessation devotional life, what happens to him? What sort of person he will be? What are the symptoms that will manifest upon him, or what are the symptoms that he need to be, you know, focusing upon? So for that, I will go to a very interesting story from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. There was a devotee by name Parasara Bhatt. So this Parasara Bhatt, one Brahmin came to Parasara Bhatt, and this Brahmin came to Parasara Bhatt and asked him, "My dear sir, can you please explain the qualities of a Vaishnava, a true Vaishnava?" So Parasara Bhatt said that, "You please go to Tirupati and you have to meet a person called Anantacharya, and ask Anantacharya about this, he will explain you." So when he went to meet Anantacharya and asked him, "Can you please explain the true qualities of a Vaishnava?" Anantacharya did not reply. So he kept quiet. So this Brahmana thought that probably he is not qualified enough to receive the answer. So he kept on following Anantacharya and doing some menial service to Anantacharya. So sometime later, when a lot of devotees were present, Anantacharya asked this devotee who was coming behind to do some specific service and some menial service. And he made sure that this Brahmana kept on doing service, and to everybody's surprise, the Brahmana did that service without asking any question, he kept on feeding them, doing some service, cleaning them. So till everybody is fed, till everybody is, everything is taken care of, this Brahmana did not deter from his service without any complaint and with full of enthusiasm. So after the festival got over, Anantacharya called this Brahmana and said, a true Vaishnava is the one who has the quality of a crane, cock, salt, and you. So this Brahmin did not understand anything. He said, that's the definition and you can go back. So this Brahmin came back to Parasar Bhat. So this Parasar Bhat clarified each of them. He said, a true Vaishnava is like a crane. Why crane? There are three reasons why this quality of crane is defined. White is the color of the crane, and so it is a symbol of purity and pure of goodness. So a Vaishnava's heart is very, very pure. This is number one, why crane. Another quality of the crane is, a crane stands on one leg and very concentratedly focus and leave aside small fishes and wait for the big fish to come and catch them. So a Vaishnava does not want to hear the mundane talks of people who are like little fish, and they are eager to enjoy bigger fish, which is wisdom of the Supreme Lord. The third reason why crane is because this crane during rainy season leaves the flood and go to lake. So Parasara Bhat explained, a Vaishnava sees that a place in which he is living is full of material dealings, then he leaves that place and go and seek the association of true devotees. He does not get crowded in a place where there are sense gratification. Rather, he go to a less crowded place which is filled with devotee association. So this is crane. And with cock, he says a Vaishnava is like a cock, because a cock has got an ability to sieve through the garbage and identify wholesome seed and enjoy them as well as feed them to his chicken. Similarly, a Vaishnava is able to sieve through everybody's qualities, bad nature, and pick up what is good in them and try to engage them in that service so that that person's existence gets purified. The third quality is about salt. The reason Vaishnava is a salt is because in spite of him doing such a paro upakar, in spite of his doing a paro dharma, a Vaishnava does not take any credibility to himself. Like a salt, in a food preparation, the preparation is very tasty because of the presence of salt or the right amount of salt. And the salt melts itself and seems to have an identity. So a Vaishnava does not expect any specific identity to himself and completely surrender himself at the lotus feet of his senior devotees and the Supreme Lord, which makes him very, very special and unique. The gopis call Govardhan as Haridasa Varya because of Giriraj Govardhan's qualities to give his entire body for the service of the Lord as well as his devotees. So the quality of a salt is something very important and is very relevant to the shloka that we read today, 170, where it is explained that sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tatparatyena nirmalam. So upadhi vinirmuktam actually means
to inculcate the quality of salt, getting rid of all the designations, getting rid of all the titles, and only focusing on pleasing and glorifying the Supreme Lord, and hence the quality of a salt of a Vaishnava is very, very unique. So when we are executing devotional service, we need to watch out for this quality. And last but not least, about enthusiastically and humbly serving the order of the spiritual master. That's why Parasar Bhatt says, because you served Anantacharya in a humble state of mind, so he referred your quality of humility as one of the true quality of a Vaishnava. So hence, it is you. So it is crane, cock, salt and you. The reason this reflection is mentioned is, if somebody is getting rid of those five obstacles that we listed, if somebody is working on those three characteristics that we spoke about, naturally these four qualities will manifest in those Vaishnava. Or you can check how much of these four qualities are manifesting in us. How humble and enthusiastic are we? As I said in a couple of classes before, our humility and being enthusiasm is a prerequisite for learning the knowledge. Unlike the corporate and the modern education, where you learn knowledge and demand result. So in Krishna consciousness, you first inculcate the quality of humility and enthusiasm, and eventually the knowledge will be revealed. The Brahmana in Srirangam, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, this Brahmana had only one qualification. He was humble and surrendered. Even though he was illiterate, the entire purport of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita was revealed to this Brahmana in his heart, which even the great scholarly people in Srirangam could not understand and appreciate. This Brahmana received Mahaprabhu's tight hug and his pure devotional service. So the point here is that when we perform devotional service and when we get rid of all the alloys, so hence we do unalloyed devotional service and slowly try to purify our consciousness by unmotivated, uninterrupted and unalloyed devotional service, these four symptoms are the four qualities of Vaishnava manifest. I will put it the other way around, the entire sequence to this way, where if we associate with a Vaishnava who has got these four qualities, then these symptoms of devotional service that we spoke about, of avichinna, avyavahita and ahaituki, these characteristics will definitely manifest upon us. And when these characteristics manifest upon us, those five obstacles that we spoke about gets washed away. So this is a bidirectional understanding. The moment we are conscious about those obstacles, and moment we are giving importance to the focused devotional life, the qualities of Vaishnava will get manifested upon us. When we associate with the Vaishnava who has got those qualities, the reverse process is also applicable. So hence the third reflection that I want to share here is that we need to watch out for an association. We need also watch out if these qualities are manifesting in me. If not, then we go back to our drawing table and see which of those five obstacles are bothering us. And our last reflection is a practical application. A practical application, what I mean to say is that we all of us are understanding this theoretical or philosophical explanation that is given by Acharya through the pages. Every week we keep discussing. But we also keep facing the challenges of, what do I do? What do I do next? Where do I start? And sometimes we keep thinking, we go back and forth. And we can see we sometimes slip, then we sometimes stand up. So to add to our application list, we will be definitely doing a lot of endeavors. I just had a realization and reflection, and we had discussed this in the past in our classes and our own preaching programs. So I just thought I'll share this application, which works in a great extent. So this is about a small pastime and the result of this pastime is application. The pastime is about Gopala Chappal and Srivas Thakur. So Gopala Chappal actually made a very serious grave aparad of insulting Srivas Thakur. So when Srivas Thakur got insulted, Srivas Thakur did not get affected, but Gopala Chappal developed leprosy, a very acute amount of leprosy. So he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is amazingly munificent, who is amazingly magnanimous, who is amazingly merciful, and fell at his feet and asked for forgiveness and said, "Can you please help me the getting rid of this disease? I made a big mistake." Mahaprabhu said, "I am sorry, I can't help you. You may have to go back to Srivas Thakur, and if Srivas Thakur forgives you, then you have a hope for revival from your disease." So the person who has insulted Srivas Thakur, you know, in a bad manner, now did not have any choice but to come to Srivas Thakur, fell at his feet. When he fell at his feet, he asked him all, you know, forgiveness. But then Srivas Thakur said that, "Don't worry, I did not take any offense. But for your purification, I recommend you to go to a devotee called Purushottam Das Thakur." So this Gopala Chappal was sent to a person called Purushottam Das Thakur, who initiated Gopala Chappal into this process of Krishna consciousness. And he gave a lifelong instruction. He said, "Because you made a Vaishnava aparad, the rest of your life, you need to focus in serving Vaishnavas, and that should be your only agenda. So please go on glorifying till the end of your life Vaishnavas, and that will take you back home, back to Godhead." And he initiated Gopala Chappal as Devaki Nandan Das. So this Devaki Nandan Das has composed a very nice song. This song is very famous amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, but not so famous within ISKCON's normal traditional bhajans. This is called Vaishnava Vandana. So what this whole song is about, is the song goes like this: Vrindavana Vati Jata Vaishnavera Ghan Pratame Vandana Koi Sabara Charan. So this is a very nice song with 12 stanzas. What the practical suggestion or application that I wanted to say is, this entire song, I sincerely wish all of you go and refer that song. I can share them on the WhatsApp group, the song, as well as the tune of the song for you to memorize. So this song is actually talking about how great the Vaishnavas are. I will just read a couple of paragraphs of this song, in which Devaki Nandan Das is trying to say to what extent our consciousness should be to worship the Vaishnava. The practical application aspect here is, when we keep our consciousness in a humble state of mind, when we keep our consciousness in worshipping Vaishnavas, when we keep our consciousness in glorifying Vaishnavas, when we keep our consciousness in a service mood, then those five obstacles will naturally go away. We will have a natural symptom of humility manifesting in ourselves. And with that humble state of mind and enthusiastic state of mind, all the other aspects that we spoke about will slowly become realistic. And what Srila Prabhupada wrote in the 73rd and 74th sloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where that devotee will not have any desire for anything else, even if you give him five types of liberation, even if you give him highest philosophical study, even if you offer him anything else, he will not be interested. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also singing that, even if somebody wants to give the position of Brahma to me, I would rather prefer to remain an insect in the worm, in a stool in a Vaishnava's house, rather than becoming Brahma. So Manasa Deho Geho song, he is singing that part. So the point is that the practical application is, when we have this humble state of mind, especially when we are in the Vaishnava community, when we have the problem of familiarity, when we have the problem of generalizing relationships, when we do not know to differentiate who could be a senior, who could be whoever, because some of our family members will be a very nice devotees, but because of our familiarity and very friendliness, we may overlook them. So this mood, this song is written in a mood of very, very humble state with a straw in the teeth. So Madhavananda Prabhu once taught this to in all of us, where this particular song is generally sung amongst very serious Vaishnavas on a daily basis in a very prayerful mood. So he says that if somebody sings this song with an understanding of the lyrics of this song, then our devotional Bhakti Lata creeper will very nicely sprout faster. So the Devakinandan Das, who was Gopala Chappal, he's saying, first of all, I offer glorifications to the feet of all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavana. Second, praising of all of Mahaprabhu's Neelachala associates, I prostrate at their feet. Third, I pray for loving attachment to the lotus feet of all of Mahaprabhu's Navadvipa Bhaktas. Fourth, I offer pranamas at the feet of all of Mahaprabhu's Gaudadesha Bengal devotees. First, he says, with upraised arms, I pray to the feet of all of Gauranga's Bhaktas in whichever country they may reside. Can you imagine? This is written in Mahaprabhu's era, where Krishna consciousness was, or the Gaudiya Vaishnava process was only visible or, you know, practiced only in Bharat Bhumi. But at that time, he became so much submissive, so much reflective, that he says that Jai Deshe Boise Gaurangera Gan Urdva Bahu Kari Vandon Sabara Charan. He says, with upraised arms, I pray to the lotus feet of all the Gaurangas Bhaktas in whichever country they may reside. So this is an indication that Gauranga Mahaprabhu's glories are going to be spreading all over the world. But the next line is what something I, you know, very strongly, 6th, 7th and 8th stanza is something is very close to my heart. He says, Hoi Achene, Hoi Bene, Prabhu Jata Das, Sabara Charana Vandon Dande Karighas, Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane, Eveda Purane Gunagaya Jeva Sune, Mahaprabhu Gana Sabha Patita Pavan, Ailo Be Muhi Papi, Loinu Sharan. He says, holding a straw between my teeth, I submit at the feet of all the servants of Mahaprabhu that were or will be. Hoya chene, hoi bene. So he's saying, I am offering my obeisances not only to Vrindavan devotees, not only to the Mayapur devotees, not only to the Neelachala devotees, not only the Gaudadesha devotees, but also the devotees all over the world. Not only that, I am offering my obeisances to those devotees who were devotees and who will be devotees. So it's a very heavy and deeper reflection. And he also says, the next day, Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dare Jhane Jhane. He says, I have heard their glorification in Vedas and Puranas, which proclaim that each one of his devotees has the shakti to deliver an entire universe. Brahmanda tarite shakti tare jane jane. So this devotee has got a potency, a devotee of the Lord has got the power to deliver the entire universe. And we have a practical example of our dear Srila Prabhupada who has delivered. And hence he says that one single devotee has the power to deliver the entire universe. What to speak of devotees as a congregation and great group. In 8th stanza, he says, hearing of their glory, I have come with great eagerness to surrender to Mahaprabhu's Bhaktas, who are all Patita Pavana for sinners like me. And he says that, so the song goes further. So the whole message that I want to say is, as a very, very practical application, this is personally my realization also, that even when we have this mood, and to have this mood, we need to definitely have every day an opportunity to serve our spiritual master through Guru Puja and serve all the Vaishnavas in our consciousness by glorifying them and giving all the credit that our devotional life is possible only because of some devotees in my life. On my own, I have no qualification. When somebody has this consciousness, then the devotional Bhakti Lata Bheej, the creeper that is trying to grow within our heart and which is pulled down by the vices and weeds, will definitely take all the strength from those two qualities and will eventually make it to the spiritual world in spite of all the difficulties of these evil effects of Kali Yuga. So these four reflections that we just discussed today, they are logically, you know, very clear to facilitate us to perform devotion as explained in verse number 170, Hrishikena Hrishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So for us to get rid of upadhi, for us to get rid of all the unwanted, you know, kleshas in our heart, we need to make sure somehow or other we are very strongly and very focusedly and very sincerely work on our devotional progress, because this is the rarest opportunity that we have got. And once we miss this opportunity, we do not know when we will get this human form of life. And even if we may get another human form of life, at least we need to make sure that we progress from where we left rather than, you know, punar mushiko bhava, going back to square. So our four reflections are, number one, the five obstacles on the path of devotional life. This laya, vikshepa, apratipati, kashaya, and rasa sveda. Number two is about the three characteristics of pure devotion service, which is ahaituki, avyavahita, avichinna. And the third aspect that we discussed is about the four primary characteristics of a Vaishnava, which is like a salt, like a crane, like cock, and being humble. And last but not least, as a practical application to, you know, work on them, you need to definitely keep a very humble state of mind. For that, there's a recommendation. This is not something, you know, mandatory, but this is something that has been working for all of us and definitely recommended by a lot of, you know, practicing devotees. So there's nothing, this song will take few minutes of everyday life. But if you know the meaning, and with remembering this meaning, if we could sing this song every day, our consciousness will get very nicely massaged to enable us to perform devotional life. Hare Krishna, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, I'll be happy to share.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Danda Pranam Prabhu, Shri Shri Prabhu. So first of all, thank you for the song, Prabhu. Devakinandan Prabhu, very nice song, very nice meanings. I really like the two sentences that you read. They were so beautiful. So please share it on our WhatsApp group, so that everyone can use this practical application. Thank you so much for that, Prabhu. Also, the pastime on the four qualities of a Vaishnava, Anantacharya Pastime, really, really very inspiring. Thank you so much. And I really like the point you said, we have to identify our obstacles and then associate with Vaishnavas. So, thank you so much, Prabhu. Really, really wonderful class. Please send the song link, Prabhu, so that we can also practice. Hare Krishna.
Sure, ma'am. I'll do that. Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanwat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. Or as usual, so much instructive and so much to learn from each and everything. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All I can say is that bhakti is a serious business. It is not some sentimental, emotional activity. So as much importance as we give to our health, as much importance as we give to our career, as much importance as we give to our family, we need to give much more importance to our devotion. And the secret is that don't do Krishna consciousness as part of your life. Please make Krishna consciousness as a way of life, which means everything will be superimposed with Krishna consciousness. then we will not have a burden. If we keep Krishna consciousness as a part of our life, many times priorities keep changing. So sometimes one part gets affected, either sleep gets affected or food gets affected or chanting gets affected or some devotional aspect gets affected. But if you make Krishna consciousness as a way of life, then everything gets normalized. So make Krishna consciousness as a serious business in your life. Okay, I think no other questions. So thank you so much for this opportunity to share some Krishna Katha, and it's purifying all time to have this discussion. Thank you so much. See you all next week. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.